Again, I count it an honor to be here tonight and to be one of your speakers. I appreciate the presence of all those that are gathered here. We have another good crowd as we did last night, and we appreciate so much your effort to be here this evening. This evening, I invite your attention to Matthew chapter 5. We'll begin reading verse 20 and read through verse 26. Jesus in this place says, "For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it has been said by those of old time, Thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. Ye have heard that it was said by them, but I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if I bring thy gift to the altar, and there remembers that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly, whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou shalt be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing." I want to talk to you for a little while this evening about what Jesus says here in Matthew chapter 5, verses 20 through 26, which, of course, as you know, is part of the Sermon on the Mount. He starts off by talking about some good things, some positive things, what it takes to have the blessedness and the inner peace and the joy and the spiritual happiness that we're all looking for. We find that in verses 1 through 12. And then he talks about how we're to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And then he talks about the transition from the old man to the old law to the new law. And again in verse 20 he says, "For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." At this time, Jesus is talking to a great audience filled with all sorts of people. And no doubt there were some there who were scribes and Pharisees. But it didn't matter about that to Jesus, because he wanted them to know, you've got to do better than that. And we today need to do better than that as well. I want to talk to you about one aspect of what Jesus says here. And it's interesting to me that the first thing he addresses is that of anger. In verse 21, he said, "Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not kill. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly, whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou shalt be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing." Again, in verse 20, your righteousness, as he says, has got to exceed their righteousness. It must go beyond. It must surpass the righteousness of the Pharisees. And if not, then you will not go to heaven. It's very clear that what he is saying here is where the scribes and Pharisees are at that particular moment. He's saying, he's demanding, you've got to do better. You got to go do more. And then begin with verse 21 through verse 48. He gives at least six different examples of how their righteousness must exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees. But I think it's important tonight to acknowledge the positive of the Pharisees. You know, the Pharisees were a very religious people. And the Pharisees had come a long way. While some of their ancestors had gone so far away from God that they were worshiping false gods. They were committing some of the most heinous of all sins that even today in our own society would be considered crimes. But they had cleaned up, or at least on the outside, on how they were living. They were trying to keep the Old Testament law. And from an external standpoint, they were pretty successful at it. But what Jesus is saying here in Matthew chapter 5 is that there was something that they had missed. Just because you look good outwardly, just because externally your actions and behavior looks right, doesn't necessarily mean that you are right and that your attitude is right. Your inside has to be right. And folks, if your inside is not right, that too disqualifies you for the prize. First of all, he talks about anger. I want to look at the devastating effects that anger can have on ourselves, on our worship, and on others. In verse 21, Jesus is really pointing out the sixth commandment found over in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 13, which says, "Thou shalt not kill." They had gotten to where, in case of murder, they weren't going to do that, you know. But Jesus says, not murdering people is not good enough. They were thinking in their mind that since we're not murdering anybody, then we're all right, you see. But Jesus says, you've got to do better than that. You've got to get to the point that your anger doesn't go so far or gets you to the point where you sin. You know, the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 4 and verse 26, in this place he makes a distinction here between two types of anger. He says, be angry, but do not sin. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. You know, as citizens of the kingdom of Christ, we must realize that the bar is set high for us. I doubt that any of us here tonight would commit the sin of murder. I really believe that. No one here will ever kill. That's wrong, and we understand that. But we must be better than that. We must be better than just not killing somebody. Jesus talks about anger, and anger is something that affects each one of us in our spiritual lives. It may threaten us on our jobs. It may threaten us in our homes. It may threaten us in our neighborhoods. It may threaten us in our work or at school. It may threaten us within the church as well. The temptations that Satan will bring upon us will include all of that. The unrighteousness of sinful anger. In verses 21 and 22, Jesus is saying, according to the Old Testament law, if you murder someone, you would be sentenced in a court of judgment. That is to take someone's life with malice or forethought. And he goes on, he talks about anger without cause. Now, Jesus got angry, didn't he? Sure he did. He got angry at sin. When he threw the money changers out of the temple, he was angry. But let's clarify one thing here. Jesus did not take that whip, you know, and beat those money changers. That's not what you find in the text. He did overthrow the tables and ran them out, but he did not use that whip on them. There is a such thing as a righteous anger. There are just some things that should not go on in the house of God, folks. And that's the point of that incident. Jesus did not violate the teachings he gave on anger, but he was warning us that there is an anger that is a righteous anger, and it's an anger that is not acceptable. We have to be so very careful in not crossing the line. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 15, the Apostle John writes the following words, "Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer shall have eternal life abiding in him." It's anger turning into hatred. He's talking about in this place about hating your brother. If you hate your brother, then you're guilty of murder, he says. That's why Jesus here straightens his stance, and God's stance, against the attitude that would lead to murder. "Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him." You know, anger makes us crazy, doesn't it? Aren't we many times ashamed of some of the things that we say or some of the things that we do just because we say and do things out of anger? It makes us look foolish. Certainly God isn't glorified by that. You see, it first starts in the heart, And then it spews itself out from the statements in someone's about someone's worth. And we use little words many times that are degrading and communicating with other people. The first step is the process of silent anger. And then it shows itself in what we say, hateful speech. And then the next step is that it becomes a settled, deep hatred, and we voice it many times. And instead of coming to our senses and say, well, you know, I was hateful right there. That was wrong with me. I crossed the line. And instead of saying, I'm sorry, we try to defend ourselves. We try to justify ourselves. We try to excuse ourselves. And that becomes a deeper and stronger feeling. Anger is a form of murder. Now, we don't actually kill anyone, you know. But why not? Why shouldn't we? Why don't we do like Cain, who slew his brother Abel? Well, quite simply, it's because many times we know the consequences of that action. And we need to understand that in God's eyes, the consequences of uncontrolled anger, a deep, settled anger, an anger that verbalizes itself to others, is just as wrong as murdering somebody. You know, many times when we get angry, we don't realize that Satan is working in us. The devil is looking for an inroad into our lives. He knows that there are some things that we're not going to do. Satan knows that we're not going to alter the worship of the Lord's church. But he will take advantage of our anger. In John chapter 8 and verse 44, Jesus addresses some religious people like he was in Matthew chapter 5. And he said this, "Ye are your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the very beginning." You know, Jesus scolded the Pharisees about being clean on the outside, but on the inside, he said they were full of dead men's bones. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 through 24, Jesus says, "Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift." So Jesus tells us if we're angry with a brother, if we're angry with a sister, we need to get that worked out prior to coming to the service of the church in order that God will accept our worship. And let me clarify another thing, if I may. If you're angry with a brother, if you're angry with a sister, the solution is not to not come to the service of the church. That's still a fundamental requirement. It's a command that you have as a child of God. So he's not saying not come to the service of the church. But rather what Jesus is saying is you get that problem, whatever it is, worked out prior to the services of the church, so you can worship in a way that will be acceptable by God. Don't compound your problems, folks, by adding yet another problem to it. That's not the way to deal with anger. You deal with anger by confronting it and getting rid of it. That's what Jesus is talking about here in Matthew chapter 5, 23 and 24. We don't want to do anything to taint or discolor our worship. Our worship is to come up before God as a sweet-smelling savor. But you know, when we worship and we have anger and hatred toward a brother or sister, what would have or should have become a sweet-smelling fragrance becomes a foul stench. And folks, God doesn't want that. He will not have that. He will not tolerate that. God wants us to heal the relationship with our brothers and sisters. God wants us to do everything in our power to mend that relationship. Sometimes it means saying, I'm sorry, when we feel there's nothing to be to apologize for, you know. Other times it may be swallowing our pride and admit that we're wrong in something and we get things worked out. We really cannot worship God in the right way when we have anger in our hearts toward a brother or sister. When we're mad or when we're angry at people, what do we do normally? Usually, you know, we drag more people into it. And more people are hurt. more people are damaged. And sometimes the weak are discouraged and they'll leave the faith. Anger affects our worship because when we stir up anger and that anger is not resolved, we're jeopardizing souls. How can we sing praises to God when we have something to cause someone to stumble? How can we glorify God with this kind of worship? In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 20, the Bible says, "If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen?" And then verse 21 says, "And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also." Listen, you cannot love and hate at the same time. It's impossible. Anger destroys. It destroys many things. It destroys marriages. It destroys friendships. It destroys relationships within the body of Christ. What about your relationships? What about my relationships? Are there relationships that have been nearly destroyed? Is there some anger that keeps us from having the relationship that we would like to have and that God would have want us to have within the body of Christ? What about our marriages? Do you think that God is pleased just as long as we don't get a divorce? Think about that. We know better, don't we? Not from what Jesus teaches. I think it's very interesting that the first sin that Jesus ever mentions, the first one he addresses, the first sin that Jesus preaches against is right there in Matthew chapter 5. And that's the sin of anger. I wonder if there are some relationships here. Is there a brother or sister that you have allowed to anger to take control of your heart? And it's caused them to, or caused you to act out or to speak out in a way that hurts God, in a way that hurts Jesus. You know, you cannot say, "I love God," and hate your brother. If you do, God says you're a liar. You can't worship God and have God accept your worship when there's anger, hatred, and enmity between you and a brother or sister in Christ. Are you here this afternoon or this evening and there's some wrong that you need to make right? In just a matter of moments, we're going to give you that opportunity by repenting of those wrongs, confessing them, and we'll pray with you and pray for you that you be forgiven. Maybe you're here tonight and you never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. We urge you and beg you to take advantage of the opportunity that you have been given by obeying the gospel. Believe in Jesus Christ. Repent of all of your past sins. Confess your faith in Jesus as being the Son of God. And then be buried in baptism for the forgiveness of your sins. And then do your very best to live a righteous life before God. If you're subject to the gospel call, won't you come while we stand, while we sing?